Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 78 of Year of the Bible and the penultimate day. Tomorrow is the last day in the book of Judges. Maybe, he might have thought, maybe it gets worse in the book of Judges, but then at the end, it gets better, right? Like maybe there at the end, you get a glimpse of hope, maybe. You are wrong. Or you were wrong. You're not wrong anymore. Not if you've read 17 through 19. I won't recap the whole thing, only because I'm kind of in a rush. But it's bad. It's bad. Okay, so it starts with a guy named Micah from Ephraim. So he's an Ephraimite. He has an idol in his house. He set up his son as a priest. What? You can't just set up your son as a priest, you're an Israelite, but that's what he's done. He sees a Levite, like an actual Levite. What's he doing? He's wandering around. Why is he wandering around? Who knows? It looks like he's looking for an opportunity, and he sees an opportunity. Micah says, "Hey, come be as a priest and father to me, and I'll pay you like this." Like, oh, pay me like that, huh? Like, all right, I can handle that. And so he does. We're like not even talking about the stuff about the stealing the silver from his mom. I don't even want to get into that. Just that it's a mess, right? That it's all a mess. And he goes and does that, because in those days Israel had no king and everyone did as they saw fit. He's a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah. Bethlehem. Important town for reasons that I probably don't have to say. Also, the King David is from there. But the Levite is wandering around. Now, it's an unnamed Levite to this point. We don't know who this Levite is. A while later, we talk about Dan, the idolatrous clan. Dan. Now, remember that Dan has got, if you go look on the map that I posted on the website, Dan has got this like little piece of land that's sandwiched in between Judah, which is in the south, and Ephraim in the north. And Dan wasn't able to, or didn't, or something, to take its allotment, to take its inheritance. Remember, they were like living on the run. They were not able to take it. The Canaanites were in charge, and so they wanted to go somewhere else, not the place that they had been allotted. They wanted to go, and so they start traveling north, and that means that they're going to travel through Ephraim, and they go north to this city called Laish, L-A-I-S-H. Now, usually, we've seen these conquest narratives before. This is like a spy narrative, kind of like the other spy narrative. Remember that happened? They go and they spy out the land that is not theirs, this land, and they say, "Hey, man, this is great. There's some guys in Laish, and like they're a peaceful people. They don't got anybody around them. They're like living peaceably. Let's go kill them. Let's go kill them." And everybody says, "Yeah, fantastic." And then they'll change the name of the town to Dan, as if that's Dan. That's not Dan. That's Laish. Anyway, so they decide they're going to do that. This is not a conquest that the Bible approves of, right? It's an inversion of what a real conquest narrative is. A real conquest narrative is you go, you scout out the land, you see Canaanites, you see them, you know, sacrificing children and doing all this kind of stuff, and it's bad. They're godless. They're, you know, they're violent. You know, they're giants even, but I bet we can do it. You know, all this kind of stuff. That's not what happens here. What happens here is that he goes, they go and they see this peaceable people, and they say, "Let's go kill them." And so they all get ready and they go. They start traveling north, which means they're going through Ephraim, which means that they see Micah's house and they see the Levite, and they say, "Hey, what are you doing here, Levite?" And he said, "Just doing some work, you know, doing my thing, getting paid to be a Levite. You know, got Yahweh, got some idols in here, but you know, we do what we do." He's not supposed to be doing what he said. And they say, "Oh, hey, we need a Levite. Hey, why don't you come with us? We'll pay you even more." Levite says, "Super, that sounds fantastic. That's what I'll do." They make this ridiculous statement well, they say, oh, now we're doing awesome, right? Because we've got a Levite with us, which is ridiculous. They've got a Levite with them, but he's a Levite that, you know, has pagan whatevers, has like pagan idols, and is not where he's supposed to be. He's not in one of the towns that he's been given. It's craziness. But they go up and they put they take the Levite with them. They go up to Laish. They kill everybody. They take it. They take the idol. The Danites there set up the idol from the Levite. And here is the clincher. Here is the thing they like punch you in the stomach at the end of chapter 18. There the Danites set up for themselves the idol, and Jonathan, son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests for the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. What they just told us is what the author holds in surprise until the very end is that this Levite who's full of crap, right? Who is like Levite for hire, who's doing the pagan thing, who sets up a pagan, like not only is it's bad enough with Micah, then they steal Micah's idol, they take it with them. This is the grandson of Moses. This is not like, you know, people have gotten all crazy and all this kind of stuff. No, this is the grandson of Moses. How bad off are the Israelites in this picture? They're really bad off. They're really bad off. That's right. They continue, last verse of 18, they continue to use the idol that Micah had made all the time, and all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. So what the author is reminding us of there is, remember, there's the law of like the one assembly, or like the one tabernacle, or whatever it is, one congregation. There's going to be one place where God sets himself up, and that's the place where the people worship. You're not going to go make altars all over the place. Remember, they had a big fight with, who was it? The people across the Jordan. Manasseh, maybe, the people across the Jordan, said, hey, did you set up another altar? They said, no, we didn't set up another altar. Hold on. Now we find Moses' grandson has set up not just another altar, but a pagan altar somewhere else. Meanwhile, the house of God was in Shiloh. The house of the real God was in Shiloh. Micah had a house of many gods, which had now been taken off to Ephraim. Anyway, boy, they're a mess, right? They're a mess. Well, you might think we have hit the bottom of the barrel here. We got Abimelech, we got everybody, and then Samson's not a team player and all this kind of business. Oh man, what a mess. What an absolute mess. It can get worse. Chapter 19 of Judges is the kind of stuff that happens where, you know, the kind of stuff that's written, that people read it and they say, what is this insane book you're reading? Like, what is this bloody, violent, awful book that you're calling Holy Scripture? So what is it? In those days, Israel had no king. Now, what's the end of that sentence? It's not said in the days of Israel, Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What kind of things? Well, you've got a Levite with a concubine. Let's start there. You've got a Levite with a concubine, and the concubine, and he and his concubine get in a fight. Unnamed Levite, unnamed concubine. Right. They get in a fight. She goes back to her. Fine. I'm leaving. I'm going back to my dad's house. So she goes back to her dad's house. Levite decides, I want that concubine back. He goes and he finds her and he goes to her to her dad's house, which must have been awkward. At least you would think it would be awkward. Actually, no. The dad greets him like, hey, old friend, and gives him like sort of absurdly excessive hospitality. And he ends up staying there for one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. On the fifth day, he's like, dude, we got to get out of here. I got to get home and everything. It's going to be a couple days journey home. So on the fifth day, he was like, we gotta go. So they didn't go until the afternoon. And that matters because they got going and they got near Jebus, also known as Jerusalem, right? The Jebusites were there. So maybe it's Jebus, not Jebus. I think Jebus sounds funnier. Jebus. They get there and say, I'm not going with the Jebusites. I ain't going in there. Well, that's craziness. I'm not going to do that. We're going to go to Gibeah. That's where the Israelites are. We're going to go to Gibeah, and that'll be a good place for us. And so they keep going and they go to Gibeah. But because they had left late, they got there and it was late. And no one could take them in. There was no room for them in the inn. There was a guy from the hill country of Ephraim. All right. He was there. The inhabitants who were living in Gibeah, the Gibeah were Benjamites. Remember I said they were Israelites. They were, in particular, they were Benjamites. And he was there and he said, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? He said, oh, he explains what he's doing. He's going back. He said, no, don't stay there in the square. Don't stay there in the square. Come allow me to provide hospitality for you. And so they did, and hooray, and they go. Now, in something that is very reminiscent of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which the author of Judges would have known and which everybody would have known, a bunch of wicked men of the city surround the house, and they want to and they shout to the old man, bring us the man who is staying in your house tonight, the stranger, right, who's staying in your house tonight, so that we can have sex with him. He said, whoa, he's in my house. You can't just take him and go have sex with him. He doesn't want to. You can't do that. How about this? Here is my virgin daughter and the Levite's concubine. So here's the virgin daughter of the Benjamite and the Levite's concubine. Take them, do as you wish, but by all means, don't do this terrible thing to this man, to the guy who's visiting. Hold on, I gotta park. So they took the concubine, not the virgin daughter, or at least it doesn't say that, sent the concubine out. I guess she was going to go first. Sent the concubine out, and it's horrible. Can we just say it's horrible? They raped her and abused her throughout the night, and at dawn they let her go. And at daybreak, the woman went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down out the door, and lay down until daylight. Right? Awful, awful stuff. Awful stuff. Is she dead? Is she alive? It's not clear. Her master, however, this Levite, and now they're calling him master and not Levite. That's very interesting. I'm sure there's something important about that. Well, I'll tell you why it's important. They go to generic names, and they don't go to proper. They don't have any proper names because this is a story of every man. Right. This is kind of like the Samson thing. This is something that could happen to any of these people because they're so wicked. He threw the concubine on the donkey, went home. When he got home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts and sent them into all the areas of Israel. Everyone who saw it was saying to one another, such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day the Israelites came up out of Egypt. Just imagine, we must do something, so speak up. The rest of the Israelites are outraged. They seem to be most outraged at the Benjamites. The Levite himself, the quote-unquote master, does not seem to come in for criticism from these guys. From the Bible, he does, right? And I think that's partly why they don't use the name. I think that's partly why they refer to him as master, not Levite. He's given up his right there. So there's an unknown here. There's sort of a lack of clarity. Was this concubine, was she dead on the doorstep before he took her? Did she die on the journey, or did he kill her? Right, when he divided her up into 12 people. Horrid, 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 horrid stuff. No matter what the answer to that question is, it's awful. No matter what the answer, it does not help. He seems to have gotten a good night's sleep. Anyway, this is terrible. This is all terrible stuff. This is the most hair-raising anecdote, story in the Old Testament, which is really saying something. Just understand two things. One is that the Bible knows that this is awful, right? It's not like the Bible's like, oh, yeah, well, things happen, you know, concubines, you know, but no. The Bible knows it's awful. The people themselves know, well, the people themselves. The point is to, you know, the point being made is these people are awful, right? Like these people have fallen into sort of the depths of depravity in such a way that like, that they're just letting crazy things happen. And what they're most upset about is the Benjamites' behavior. You know, like sort of lack of hospitality or whatever. Anyway, it's all craziness. What they're going to do is start a war. Nothing civil about a civil war. That's going to happen tomorrow and we'll deal with it then. But look, it's real bad. It's real bad. And that's the point that's being made here. Things have gotten real bad in Israel. Now there's funny issues of chronology here. I won't get into it. Maybe this is an earlier story rather than a later one. Who knows? It doesn't matter. The point is that the author of Judges has put it in this order, has put like we're a long way from Deborah at this point, right? Remember Deborah? Remember Yael, right? Who killed Sisera? Remember them? They were doing great. You know, they're heroes. Deborah, absolute hero, absolute champion. We're a long way from that. We are a long way from that. The story in Judges ends tomorrow. I gotta run. Let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful day. It'll get better. Just not right away. All right, bye.